Hi, welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your daily 10 minutes of food for your soul. And this is your host, Mark Day. Today, we want to continue taking a look at the first chapter of the New Testament book of 1 John. Last time, we thought about light and darkness, and today, we want to think a little bit more about what John means when he writes about sin. So I'll read 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So John refers to the things of God, the goodness of God, the Scriptures, and Jesus Christ as light. And John refers to those things that are contrary to the will of God and contrary to the character of God, those things that are even outright opposed to God, as darkness. But then the apostle reminds readers that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Remember that false teachers had been circulating and had even infiltrated into the church. These false teachers were sneaky, claiming Jesus on the one hand, but then denying his teaching on the other hand, especially as it related to the divine nature of Jesus and the reality of sin in each individual. One thing to be aware of when we talk about sin is the word usage itself. Sins, plural, are what we think, say, and do that are counter to the nature and will of God. Those are the things that belittle the character of God and are harmful to other people. But sin, singular, is the root of the problem. It's because of sin, singular, that we commit all manner of sins, plural. Jesus came to fix the sin problem, which in turn has an impact on the many sins that we commit in the practice of daily living. Fundamentally, sin is rebellion against God, and that rebellion shows itself in many, many different ways. Sin is an affront, an attack on the will, purposes, character, and teachings of God. So, sin is an attack against God. Sin is the root cause of many, many human problems, personal and social. If we pause, if we think deeply and honestly, in humility, we will discover that sin is at the root of many personal and social dysfunctions. On the other hand, peace with God means that we are no longer in overt, calculated, and intentional rebellion against God. Peace with God means that we no longer have to be number one. We're at peace with God being number one. Peace with God means that we have recognized our own arrogance before God. We've recognized our sin of arrogantly having to be in control and having to direct every step of our life. Peace with God means we have relinquished control to God, sought God's forgiveness in Christ, and have come into being at peace with God. Again, our sin, singular, our sin of rebellion against God, against Jesus, and against the written word of God, manifests itself in many, many different sins, plural. The topic of sin is theologically rich and worthy of deep study. But if we do that today, it'll draw us away from the Apostle John's writings. So today I just want to summarize again by saying that sin is rebellion against God. The written word of God declares that all people, all of us, suffer from this rebellion. And our personal experience in daily living shows that sin is common among all people who have ever existed. No one has escaped the problem of sin except Jesus Christ, who was perfectly sinless. One more thing. The real presence of sin in the heart of every person on the planet is a real big problem. As I say, the outworking of sin shows itself in conflicts, exploitation, aggression towards others, lying, stealing, cheating, pride, greed, death, and a host of other social and personal maladies. Sin is a really big problem. Jesus, the apostles, and the prophets all affirm the reality of this problem. And there is only one solution to the problem. The sin problem cannot be legislated away. It can't be done away with through therapeutic technique. It can't be eradicated through religious membership, mass education, medicine, or a new social policy. The sin problem requires personal heart transformation. And that transformation, that heart change, that spiritual heart surgery only comes through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's plan of deliverance, God's plan of salvation for human beings. God's plan of salvation promises a big, bright, beautiful future for eternity, and it also promises growth, change, restoration, deliverance, and beauty in this world. Jesus brings about our unity with God, and that is transformative. And by virtue of our unity with God, we as human beings find unity with one another. I said unity, not uniformity. Unity with one another. The transformation that God promises is experiential. We get the benefit, the blessing, of being able to experience our own godly transformation and the godly transformation of others. So, in this podcast, as we consider the writings of 1 John in future episodes, we'll think more about the sin issue because it's a big issue to the apostle and the heresy that he is battling. Now, John is confronting heresy. The heresy was the denial of sin. Those who denied sin in their own life could then sidestep their own responsibility for having it and their own responsibility for its consequences. In addressing the heresy of sin denial, John divided the problem into three categories. 1. Those in darkness. 2. Those in deception. And 3. Those who defame God. All three groups of people willfully rejected or completely ignored the reality that being a true believer and practicing habitual sin are incompatible. The Apostle Paul is in agreement with John. In Romans 6:2, he writes, "How shall we who died to sin still live in it?" Again, Paul is not talking of human perfection. He's speaking of those who habitually, intentionally, and continually participate in behavior that is in rebellion to the clear will, purposes, and teachings of God. John's first group consists of those who walk in darkness. They live in darkness. They proclaim one thing. They claim to be Christian, but then actually live in darkness. Darkness here means to continually practice evil deeds. And the scriptures are full of admonishments for those who think in this way. They claim to be saved from their sin, but in reality, they relish living in rebellion against God. John's second group is made up of those who claim to have no sin. This is the height of prideful arrogance. John is pointing to those people who claim to have reached a higher spiritual level than others so that sin no longer has a presence in their life. These folks completely misunderstand the Holy Spirit's work of progressive sanctification, the process of spiritual growth in the Christian life. So, these folks only lie to themselves. They ignore what everyone else plainly sees, that sin has a real presence and controlling influence in their life. The fact that they deny sin in their own life is in itself proof that sin does exist in their life, the sin of pride. John's third group consists of those who deny that they've sinned at all. They claim they have never sinned. They claim that sin is not a reality. They claim the idea of sin is some sort of religious construct, but it's not a reality in their own life. This group has several problems. First, they make God out to be a liar, since God has clearly revealed the problem of sin in the human condition. Passages such as Isaiah 53, Zechariah 9, Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 19, Acts 5, Acts 13, Romans 6, 1 Timothy chapter 1, Hebrews 5, and many, many others all point to the sin problem, the separation from God problem that humans share, and our need for a Savior to solve the sin problem for us. So, this group denies the need for a Savior, and that, of course, is an enormous problem because they are denying Jesus Christ. So each of these groups proves that the Word of God is not in them. God's truth is not in them. Anyone who professes to believe in God, to have fellowship with God, but then denies the sin presence in their own life, that person is in spiritual darkness. They are in deception, and actually they blaspheme God. The truth of God is not in them. Those who truly know God, those who truly enjoy fellowship with God, don't deny the presence of sin in their own life. They confess it, seek God's forgiveness, and repent of it. And we'll take up the concepts of confession and repentance next time. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Spread the word. Tell your friends and contacts about the podcast. They can easily find it by searching Think Jesus Cafe in their favorite podcast app. I'll see you again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.